want you to get your Bible out today and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Once you find 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want you to stand with me. Find verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. We'll all stand. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. The Bible says this: "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Verse number 13 is the primary verse for the sermon today. I'm glad God said he would make a way to escape. He said, "I'll make a way to escape." Let me pray for us. Father, bless us with thy presence. I think of the children's church service that will take place at the very same time this service is taking place. Might your Holy Spirit rest upon both. Give me the attention of the people, Lord. Help us to help someone today. Spirit of God, do that work that you do best. Help us to do our part. We know that you'll do yours. Minimize the interruptions so that we might learn and grow. Bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I call the sermon today, Our Way to Escape. Not many weeks ago, our youth department went to a corn maze. And you go in the corn maze, and the whole object is to figure how to escape that maze. Now, I remember back, I took a group of teenagers many, many years ago, back when I was a youth director. I took them to a maze. And when I got there, they told me, they said, "This is a very difficult maze." And they said, "Now, we'll give you a sheet of paper, and on this paper, it shows a person the way out." And so I took that, and I stuck it in my pocket. Well, everybody got in that maze, and it was a very difficult maze, and they were trying to work their way through that maze. You know something? It wasn't so hard for me. You say, why? Well, I pulled that piece of paper that they had given me out of my pocket, and it told me what to do that I could escape. The Bible says, it says that God wants to help you and I with an escape plan. The verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, God was saying, there are temptations that come in this life, and those temptations could be destructive to you and I. And God said, those destructive temptations, you want to be careful. And he said, I'll provide a way that you might escape that temptation when it comes upon you. For many, many years, I've flown thousands and thousands of miles. I've been up in airplane after airplane after airplane after airplane. I would sit down, put my seatbelt on, and right before we would take off, they would give us the escape plan on that airplane. They would say to us, your seat cushion is a flotation device. They would say to us, this walkway will become illuminated to lead you to the escape route. They would say, that exit door right there, or the exit door right there, you'll want to escape through the nearest exit door. They would say, if we have need of it, an oxygen mask will fall from the compartment above you. And if you have a child with you, put your oxygen mask on first, then put one on them. They would say, the exit. Then they come to you at the exit doors and say, are you in your right mind? Are you willing to help us with that exit door right there if there be a need? Now, most of the time, anybody sitting in the exit would say, I'm willing to help. Just not long ago, the last flight Mrs. Owens and I took together, the stewardess said to someone sitting at the exit door, are you willing to help? And the lady said, no, I'm not. And she moved, and they put somebody else there. But it was the escape plan. Why? Well, they say there's got to be a way to escape the danger that might come upon us. When our children were little, and I don't know if they'll remember this, but honey, do you remember our kids? I don't know if they got to talking. I don't know what happened, but our house was a two-story home, and I don't know if at school they had talked about how at school they had an escape plan in case there was a fire. Y'all remember back when you were in school or in your public building, they've got a little chart on the wall that tells you how to get out of the building. Well, our kids came home, and they were little. They're just little. I mean, they were all in grade school at this time, and they came home, and they had met, and they talked, and they came to my wife and I like a committee and said, "We don't have an escape route in case there's a fire here at the house." And I thought, that's silly. Just run for the hills, buddy. Every man for himself. The Christian, we're going to act like Christians here. Well, but no, they wanted it. So, you know, we had to do. We actually sat down, and I drew up a chart. And I showed where the doors were, and I told everyone, these are the exits, how we escape. We printed it, we practiced it, we posted it, because it was a big deal to my kids. They want to know, how are we going to get out of here if we have a fire? And I wanted to do that for them. You say, why? Because I love them. Now let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father, He loves you. And temptation in life comes. And He has planned an escape plan. Now, that escape plan, if you will, you remember I told you about the corn maze and the man that put it all together handed me on paper what the object was, if you need to escape, how you could escape this maze. Let me tell you, God has printed for you and I a plan. He put it on paper so we would know how to escape when the terrible temptations of life that could destroy us come upon us. And He printed it and put it in this book. You say, well, some people seem to get out of the mess and stay away from the messes better than others. Well, maybe they're looking at the escape plan that the Creator of this whole thing called life had prepared for us. There's an escape plan. Listen again to the verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now God said, listen, He said to someone here, you say, "Brother Owens, I got tempted, and as a result of it, I gave in and I messed up my life. But I don't think that temptation was fair." Now first of all, God's always fair. But God said He's not going to bring a temptation on you that He wouldn't bring on somebody else. And there are some that when temptation comes upon them, they do well with it. They're able to say no to it. They escape the devil's trick. And yet there are others, when temptation comes upon them, they don't do so well with it. They don't say no to the devil. And therefore, a part of their life is destroyed. What's the difference? It's the escape plan. God promised, He said, "I'm not going to let something come upon you that I have not provided an escape from that temptation, that destructive situation. There's a way out of the destruction that could come upon you. I want to show you God's escape plan. I'll show you some of the things that God has provided for you and I as born-again Christians so that we can escape the terrible temptations of the devil." For instance, I think God helps us escape by giving us a conscience. A conscience. I'll read to you from Romans chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, "Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now, I believe that God gave you a conscience. That thing that you have within you that speaks to you on the inside. That conscience. Now, I think this is maybe what we might call a kindergarten level of escape, but God said, "I gave you a conscience." It's a part of us that God has given us that will instinctively tell us that's wrong. Folks, your conscience will say to you, "Don't do that." That little voice on the inside of you will say, you shouldn't be here. There's a little voice on the inside of you that'll say, you shouldn't be listening to that joke right there. There's something inside you that should say, you shouldn't be with this person. You shouldn't be reading that material. You shouldn't be listening to that music. You shouldn't be watching that with your eyes. Now, folks, your conscience is one of the escape mechanisms that God has made available to you. Your conscience will tell you what not to do. Now, it may not tell you what to do, but it will tell you what not to do. But here's the problem. Our conscience speaks to us, and if we don't listen to it, the conscience feels ignored. It becomes calloused, if you will. The Bible, your conscience can become numb. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. As a Christian, you go to do wrong, and your conscience says, don't do that! There's a little voice on the inside of you that'll say, that's not good, that's not right. Don't behave that way. Don't touch that. Don't say that. Don't let that happen. But when you push your conscience aside, and you go ahead and do it, before long, your conscience gets used to being pushed aside. And your conscience is not heard by you as well. What's happening? You're callousing your conscience. You're minimizing your conscience. Let me warn everybody in here, do not deaden your conscience. There are Christians in here. The very first time you glanced at some pornography, inside you, something said, don't look at that! Well, if you didn't listen to that little voice inside you, and you pushed it aside, every time you push that little voice aside, that voice became weaker and weaker, and you heard it less and less. And some of you, you have pushed your conscience aside and pushed it aside and pushed it aside to where your conscience, you don't even hear it anymore. Oh, what a dangerous thing. You have scarred your conscience. You have calloused your conscience. It has a lack of feeling because you don't respond to it. You've seared it, if you will, by ignoring it. Now, folks, young people, be sensitive to your conscience. There are adults in this room that would say to you, I now live in a sin, and I'm not really bothered by it anymore. But when I first dabbled in that sin, when I first was tested by that sin, something on the inside said, don't do that. And I should have listened to that thing on the inside of me that warned me not to do it. Your conscience should be, it's supposed to be, you're to be sensitive to that. So you know, God put a conscience inside all of us. Everybody has a conscience. There's a story in the Bible. Let me remind all of us. There's a story of a lady that was stoned. They were going to stone her in regard to having, she committed adultery. Listen to this. John 8:9 says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. See, here's what happened. A lady had gotten caught in the very act of adultery. And a bunch of people said, let's stone her. They're going to pick up bricks and rocks, and they're going to beat her to death. Jesus came, and he began to write on the ground, and he said, he that is without sin may cast the first stone. So understand, this lady got caught. All these violent, nasty, fleshly Christians were standing around with stones, ready to beat this woman to death, take rocks and bash her brains out. And Jesus wrote in the ground, he said, you go ahead and throw the rock. You go ahead and stone her. You go ahead and kill her if you want. If you're without sin yourself. You know what the Bible says? Because of their conscience, they dropped their stones and they left. What happened? The good part of them that God placed on the inside said, drop the stone, idiot. You know better. And they did. Someone's life was spared because somebody else's conscience was left intact. You push your conscience aside enough, you'll be ready to kill people over their wrong when you're a filthy sinner yourself. The conscience was given to us to help us to do better in life. You know, you say, well, preacher, if you were with me, I'd do better. I can't go everywhere with you. Matter of fact, I don't want to go everywhere with you. Say, if I were in church, I'd make the right decision. Here's one problem. You're going to be at home. It's going to be at night. And there's not going to be anybody else around. And God said, when the preacher's not there, and when you're not with another good Christian, and when you're not down at the church house, something has to say to you, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And God gave you a conscience. But some of you, you pushed it aside and pushed it aside. You say, I've weakened my conscience. God calls it searing the conscience with a hot iron. You burn yourself with a hot iron and it sears that flesh and it becomes hard and it loses feeling. There's some of you, you are committing sins right now that you used to be convicted about, but you push your conscience aside. God gave us a way to escape. Say, what is that way? He placed within us a conscience. Some of you remember back? Do you remember back to when you had a healthy conscience? And everybody look right at me. Look right at me right here. You realize, some of you, you realize what you have done to your conscience? Could I recommend to some of you that you beg God to help your conscience to become active in your life again? Wouldn't it be sweet if the slightest misbehavior on your part, something on the inside of you again, would say, don't do that. Don't behave that way. Don't act that way. You know better than that. But God gives us a way to escape. Secondly, I think one of the escape routes, if you will, of God, He provides us the Word of God. Listen to Romans 7:13. The Bible says, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. God gave you a conscience to get you to escape the temptations of life. If you just follow your conscience, you wouldn't have to be in a mess and have your life messed up. But wait, then God comes along and He said, not only have I given you a conscience, I've given you my word. Hey, anybody have a Bible with you today? Would you take that and hold it up there so I could see it? You have a Bible with you today? Well, look at all those Bibles. You know something? And those of you that might not have one to hold up right now, you have one at home, and you have one on the coffee table, and you have one somewhere at home. They're everywhere. God said, I will help you to escape, and one of the ways I'll help to get it done, I'll give you a Bible, and the Bible will help you to escape the things that the devil would do to you to try to destroy you. Here in Romans 7:13, it says that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. God wants to make sin exceeding sinful. What's He doing? He's trying to make you realize how bad it is. The Bible is there to make you realize how bad is, so bad doesn't tear you to shreds. That's what the Bible's for. My conscience tells us what bad not to do. Then the Bible comes along, and the Bible will then tell me what good I ought to be doing instead of that bad. You see, the conscience will say, don't do it, it's bad. The Bible come along and say, it's bad, but let me add to that. There's something good you ought to be doing instead of doing that bad. The Bible tells me the good that I ought to do. My conscience tells me the bad that I ought not be doing. Your conscience would say to you, you shouldn't be here right now. The Bible will say, yes, you should be at church right now. There's somebody out there right now. There's someone that should be in church this morning. They're not. They're doing something bad. Well, I hope their conscience says, you shouldn't be doing this. And the Bible would say, instead of being where you are, there's a better place for you to be. And that's in church. Now, I want to recommend to all of you that you be in church when you're supposed to be in church. I think that's what God would expect of us. Be in church when you're supposed to be in church.
But the Bible comes along and the Bible says to us, not only am I going to tell you not to do bad, but I'm going to tell you to do the good that you ought to be doing in life. The Bible has an uncanny way of making it clear to you and I about what we ought to be doing. My conscience comes along and says to me, boy, if I were you, I wouldn't be doing that. The Bible adds to it and says, no, you ought not be doing that, but not only should you not be doing that, there's something good you should be doing instead. Let me tell you what will happen. You go to buy something that you should not buy. When you go to buy something that you should not buy, you're getting it out and you're just hoping some Christian doesn't come along and see you. You're just hoping that somebody from the church doesn't see what you're doing. And your conscience says, well, I feel uneasy about this. Your conscience ought to make you feel uneasy about it. But then add to that, you realize that if you just spent money on something sinful you shouldn't have spent money on, that money should have been used for something good. So, your conscience says you ought not do that. And then the Bible comes along and says, I'll tell you why you ought not do that, because you ought to be spending your money on this good thing, because this is wholesome and this is decent and this is right. So we want to escape. You say, I'd like to do better with temptation. Well, listen to your conscience. And the reason why some of you don't do better with temptation is you push temptation, you push your conscience aside so many times, you've damaged your conscience. But at least stop and realize something. If your conscience isn't bothering you, could you just stop and think about the fact that God tells you there are certain things you should not be doing, and because of those things, there are good things that you should be doing that you're not doing because you're busy doing that bad thing. Let the Bible convict and speak to you. The Bible may not tell you exactly which good thing to do, but it'll tell you to do something good. Thursday night rolls around, and we here have on Thursday night and at other times, we have a Thursday night soul winning program. Can I warn you about something? You know, if you don't come to Thursday night soul winning, fine. But I tell you something, if you're out at some casino drinking and getting high and everything on a Thursday night, when we're having soul winning around here, I'm going to guess God thinks you made the wrong choice on Thursday night. Your conscience ought to tell you, I ought not be doing this, but the Bible come along and say, you ought not be doing that, you ought to be doing this instead. But if you place yourself in that situation where you're not going to listen to your conscience, then it doesn't bother you that there is something good you could be doing that you're not. No wonder you've got your life a mess. No wonder the escape plan that God's made available is not working for you. Your conscience is a part of your escape plan. The Bible is there to make sin exceedingly sinful. I'm saddened today. Preachers don't want to tell you that you ought not be getting drunk and that you ought not be whoring around. And preachers don't want to tell you there are certain things that just shouldn't take place in your life. Preachers are afraid to stand up and preach and tell you that sin is still sin and it's still wrong. I'm saddened by that. But if they're going to preach the Bible, they're going to have to tell you the difference between right and wrong. And preachers are to make sin exceeding sinful. Why? If I can tell you that sin is exceeding sinful, you may use that as your escape plan. In other words, you say, I'm not going to do wrong because the Bible tells me not to do that. Our escape plan. God wants us to escape. And so, He gives me a conscience. Then He gives me the Bible. I'll tell you something else He's given us that will help us. God helps us to escape temptation by providing Jesus as our pattern. You say, how so? Jesus escaped sin. Jesus succeeded at escaping sin. My conscience is going to tell me, don't do that. The Bible's going to say, not only should you not do that, you ought to be doing something good instead. Then I looked to Jesus, and Jesus said, by the way, what's your conscience? And the Bible tells you it's possible. You can say no to sin. I'm glad Jesus did that. The Bible says in Luke 23:4, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in him. Pilate was talking about Jesus. Can I tell you something? The Bible teaches very clearly that there was no fault in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not sin. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God. He was the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now let me explain. Your conscience says, don't do that. The Bible comes along and says, I agree with your conscience. Not only should you not be doing that, you ought to be doing good. Jesus comes along and said, look, I've been down there. I've been through what you're going through. It's doable. If you'll do what your conscience tells you to do, if you'll do what the Bible tells you to do, you can do this. You can conquer this. You say, how does he know that? The Bible says Jesus was tempted in all areas, just like we are. So I'm glad God gave us an example of Jesus Christ who comes along and Jesus says, this is doable. You can say no. Now, I don't believe that anybody in here is going to be perfect. But I believe this. I believe anybody in here at any given time could say no to the temptation of sin that's come upon you. You can say no. If you would just listen to your conscience and listen to the Bible and believe that if Jesus said we can conquer it, and Jesus didn't say it with some pie-in-the-sky thought process that he had. He lived down here. He faced what you face. He faced what I face. And Jesus said no to the sin. So he has given us an example that we can say no to sin. In Luke 23:41, it says this, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. There are two thieves that are hanging on the cross on either side of Jesus, and they're talking. And one said, look, buddy, you deserve to die and I deserve to die, but this guy in the middle, he doesn't deserve, he's done nothing amiss. In other words, Jesus Christ did the right thing at the right time in the right way. And he did that as an example to you and me. Here's what Jesus would say to you. Listen to the conscience I gave you. Stop pushing it aside. Stop damaging your conscience by not listening to it. Then listen to the Bible. And he said, I was able to live a perfect, sinless life because I listened to the voice on the inside of me and I did what the Bible said, and as a result of it, I was able to be the Savior. I was able to live a perfect life. So Jesus is my pattern. If somebody said to me, you ought to go do thus and so, but it had never been done, or even if they said to me, you ought to do thus and so, and they couldn't do it, that'd bother me. Jesus doesn't do that to us. Jesus said, you can say no to that temptation. Because he did say no to that temptation. And if you ask him how he said no to that temptation, he said, I listened to the voice inside me. I did what the Scripture told me, and I had victory over that temptation. So you say, preacher, I would like to escape temptation. This world's rough. There's a lot of temptation out there. Just listen to your conscience. Oh, have you damaged it so bad that you can't even hear it anymore? All right, then just go to the Scripture. Scripture will make it very clear. There are some things you just should not do. There are some things you just should do. You say, but is it doable? Yes, Jesus proved it's doable. So an encouragement to me, listen, when the young people were in that maze, I remember it very well. I had my teenagers. We were in the maze. Remember I told you I pulled out the little piece of paper that the man that owned the maze said, if you'll follow this, you can get out. Well, I didn't tell the teenagers that I had this escape plan and I had it on paper. So I whipped through the maze and I'm on the outside and I can hear them in there. And I'm yelling in there, come on, you guys, let's go. I'm out already. I'm out already. How did you get out so quick? How's it so easy? You know what? All I did was follow what the owner had told me to escape. You know what some of you need to do? You need to follow what the owner has told you to do to escape. You've boogered up your conscience. You won't do what the Bible says, and you wonder why you're in such a mess. Well, look, I was an example that it could be done. When I made it through the maze, I proved to everybody you can get out of that maze. You can escape it. And me being on the outside, I think it helped some of them. And you know what ended up happening? I had one kid, all of a sudden, he comes out of the maze. He said, I found it. I said, how did you do that? He said, I could hear you. I kept following your voice. Folks, will you just follow his voice? I had proven it could be done by following the pattern that the owner had given me. You don't listen to your conscience. You don't listen to the Scripture. You've forgotten Jesus said it can be done. So, you're a mess. You mess up your life. You see, my conscience tells me, don't do the bad. The Bible comes along and says, not only don't do the bad, but I'll give you some good to do. Jesus comes along and said, if you'll listen to that, you can do it, because I did it. Now, let me help you with another piece of this puzzle. What else? What else has God given me to help me to escape? Well, I believe that God also helps us to escape by providing for us the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. In John 16:8 it says, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Listen to me. There are times if you would just let the Spirit of God lead you. Now, let me make something very clear. The Spirit of God never leads us contrary to the Scripture. Some of you, you're just way too spooky. The Spirit of God led me. Well, I think the Spirit of God does lead people, but He does it primarily through the Scripture. He's always going to agree with the Scripture. But you know, the Spirit of God could help you if you'd let Him. The Spirit of God can, you know, you say, how am I going to escape? Hey, do this. Next time you're tempted, just ask the Spirit of God what He thinks you ought to do. But when you're getting ready to fornicate, that's having sexual relations outside of marriage, just turn to the Spirit of God and say, Spirit of God, would you like for me to do this? So I already know the answer. He's quick in answering, isn't He? The Spirit of God will lead you. He won't lead you contrary to the Scripture. Where you get in trouble is if you don't walk in the Spirit. Then you're not staying aware of what the Spirit would want of you. When you're doing wrong, the Spirit of God is being pushed aside just like your conscience. Don't let that happen to you. Your conscience will tell you not to do bad. The Bible come along and say, now not only should you not do bad, let's add good to it. Jesus comes along and He says, I've set an example. This is doable. The Spirit of God comes along and says, I can help you even further. Not only am I going to tell you not to do it, not only am I going to point to the Bible, not only am I going to exalt the example of Jesus Christ, I can even help you further. I can help you pick between all the good things you ought to be doing, and I can guide you and lead you into being a happy, productive, successful Christian. Say, I want to escape the temptation. Listen to your conscience. Listen to the Bible. Look to Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And you'll make it. Our problem is, we destroy our consciences. We ignore the Bible that we've been taught. We forget that Jesus said it's doable and He proved that it could be done. We don't walk in the Spirit. Therefore, when the Spirit would have guided us, would have protected us, would have prompted us, we're ignoring it. Let me ask you a question. What kind of sin is prevalent in your life right now? Then let me ask this. Are you filled with the Spirit? Have you asked the Holy Spirit if it's okay to do that? Now remember, He'll always agree with the Scripture. Let me give you a couple of examples of this whole thing. I believe this. I believe my conscience is going to say no to bad. I believe the Bible is going to say yes to good. I think Jesus is my example setter. He says, yes, you can do this. And the Holy Spirit will say, I'll lead you through this thing. I'll get you through this thing. Take a job. Now, some of you, it doesn't matter to you. You're just going to get whatever job you want. I'd like to have the job God would want me to have. It'd be the safest place in the world for me. There's some of you, you're going to get the job that you want. As a result of it, you're going to have a mess on your hands. I'd rather have the job that God wants me to have. But listen, my conscience would say to me, no, I don't think you ought to be a bartender. Okay. Then I'm going to listen. Now, the Bible would say, not only should you not be a bartender, but why don't you do something with your life that's clean and decent? Help people with what you're doing. That makes sense. So my conscience said no to the bad. The Bible said no to the bad, but it comes along and says yes to the good. Jesus said, you can do this. You can find the right kind of a job in this day and age that says no to bad and yes to good. You can do that. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, you know what? I'll guide you to find the exact job. That's how God leads us. That's God's plan. That's how it works. You take your friends. Some of you, it doesn't matter anything to you about what friends you have. Now, the Bible cares about what friends you have. Nothing will destroy you quicker than wrong friendships. Your conscience says no to lost unsaved, ungodly friends. Your conscience should say no to that. Then the Bible will tell you yes to the right kind of friends. Jesus comes along and said, I set a good example because I ran around with the apostles when I was down there. I was doing the right thing. The Holy Spirit will lead you to the right kinds of friends within the realm of right. Over and over again, we get into a mess because we don't listen to our conscience. We don't listen to the Bible. We had a Jesus that set a perfect example. Then we won't listen to the Holy Spirit. So we don't get the right job. We don't get the right friends. We don't pick the right mate. We don't have the right, we don't do the right thing with our money. We don't dress right. Why? Because we do what we want. And I'll just warn you, what you want will get you in a mess. He said this, the scripture said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. What's God doing? He's trying to protect you. How's He going to do it? He gave you conscience. Listen to it. He gave you a Bible. Do what it says. He gave you a perfect example. It's doable. Don't believe that, you know, something's on you that you can't handle. He promised you that wouldn't happen. You walk in the Spirit and God will take care of the rest. It'll keep you out of a mess in regard to temptation. When they say to me on the airplane, in case of an emergency, the exit doors are right there. In case of an emergency, there's going to be oxygen fall from the sky. If I'm listening to everything they say, if an emergency came, for all practical purposes, I'll escape. I'm going to make it through. Now listen, if you won't do what your conscience says, if you won't do what the Bible says, if you won't believe Jesus when He said that's the right way to do it, if you won't do what the Holy Spirit said, go ahead and live with your mess. You're stuck in the maze of life. You feel spiritually like every time you turn around, you're messed up again. I want you to escape. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and He is going to offer you a way to escape. You say, some of us, we're waiting for Jesus to swoop in and help us escape. He's given you a conscience. He's given you the Bible. He's given you His example. He's given you a Holy Spirit. All those things are very powerful. You say, well, when's He coming to help me escape? You have to do what He said to escape. He doesn't come in and he's not going to come in like a superhero and throw you over His shoulder and say, I'm going to swoop you away from all these evil temptations. No, He's going to say, I gave you the Bible. I gave you my Spirit. I gave you my example. I gave you a conscience. If you won't listen to any of that, then you will have to mess up and hurt yourself. I was the first one out of the maze because I had the instruction sheet. And I just followed it, and I succeeded. And you have been given some very simple instructions today. Listen to your conscience. Listen to the Bible. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you'll do that, you will minimize the damage that comes in your life due to temptation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Might I say this to you? If you're not saved, guess what? You ought to get born again. There's an escape plan for this thing called salvation. If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, I want to recommend to you Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you died today and you don't know you're born again, you ought to get saved. There's an escape plan. Jesus prepared that escape plan. He died for you, was buried for you. He was resurrected for you. Are you a born again Christian? If you're not a born-again Christian, I wish you'd get saved. Here's the question. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Is there somebody here that would say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about that, but I don't know that I'm a born-again Christian. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. How many of you could say, Pastor, I know for a fact. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie in church. I know for a fact I'm a born-again Christian. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Let God see your hand so He knows that you're saved, that you've trusted Christ. You may put your hands down.
Listen, folks, I can't make it any simpler. I just know what I taught you this morning works. Those of you that are born again Christians, if you would just listen to your conscience, if you'd just do what the Bible says, if you'd realize Jesus has proven it can be done and listen to the Spirit of God, if you would do that, you'll minimize the danger. You'll minimize the destruction in your life. Who here would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. He has spoken to me today. And for some of you, you ought to thank God if He's speaking to your heart. If there's even a little conviction in your heart because you pushed that Holy Spirit away so many times and you've pushed that conscience away. But who here would say, Preacher, God has spoken to me. Something about what you said is going to help me. And I want to do what God has taught me this morning. It's going to help me. And God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not a born-again Christian, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian and you need a moment at the altar, just to come and talk to God about maybe temptation in your life or a struggle in your life. Maybe you need to say, you know what, my conscience has been talking to me about this. I've got to get it straightened out. And or the Bible tells me dogmatically not to do it. Or I see what Jesus set as an example. Or maybe you say the Holy Spirit has pricked my heart. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar, Christian? Do you need to come? And I'll just warn you, if you're not careful and you push the prompting of your conscience away and you push the Spirit of God away and you push the clear teaching of the Bible away, you push the example of Jesus away, get ready. You're going to have a mess on your hands. You're about to bite off more than you can chew. It's about to cost you more than what you want to pay. You're about to mess up. Something bad is going to happen. You're not going to like the results. If you need to be saved, you come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need time at the altar, you come. Say, why is it I find these catastrophes in my life? Well, what have you done to your conscience? How badly have you beat up your conscience? How many times have you pushed that thing aside that inside you just warns you? How many Bible scriptures and sermons have you heard preach that you climb over, you climb right past them to go do what you want to do anyway? You know the example of Jesus Christ. You know the success of it. How many sermons was the Holy Spirit convicting you about your behavior in, but you wouldn't listen? Your conscience, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, they'll keep you out of turmoil. They'll keep you out of a mess. They'll keep you out of tragedy. And again, I want to recommend to some of you who used to have a conscience that you beg God to restore it. Something that troubled you months ago, it doesn't trouble you anymore. You say, it must be okay then, God's left me alone about it. No, you pushed God away long enough. You have numbed your conscience. We're almost done, but there are yet people whose names are being taken. And this will be the last time through the song. We'll have a seat, let you know about a couple of people that have been saved, and we'll be on our way.
Folks, go ahead and have a seat there, if you will.